Blog Talk Radio.
You got it, brother. Go ahead.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another wonderful day. I'd like to say hello to Apostle Dr. Willie Hunter, a great man of God. I want to thank him for all the great work that he's doing and helping the word of faith to be spread all around the world. And I'd like to say hello to all those who are listening. Thank God for you. I'm Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and our Wednesday night Bible studies is at 7 p.m. Come by and worship with us. I'd love to see your face in the place. Well, glory to God. If you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're going to be reading verses 25 through 34. That's Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. The scripture says, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, she was losing blood from her body for 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was not bettered, but rather grew worse. She had spent all her money going to the different doctors, the different physicians, trying to get well, but she didn't get well. She grew worse. She only got worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She stopped bleeding. She was healed. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, strength had left Jesus' body, Yeshua's body. Power had left his body. He turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? They said, Master, Jesus, there's a whole lot of people rubbing up against you, bumping up against you and touching you. Well, what do you mean? Who touched you? There's a lot of folks touching you. But Jesus was talking about a certain touch. He was talking about the touch of faith. The touch of faith. That's what Jesus was talking about. Someone had touched him who had faith, who was using their, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. When we walk by faith and not by sight, we see here that we get Jesus' attention. He takes notice of the man, of the woman who walks around and about daily, walking by faith and not by sight. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for that man or that woman who's walking by faith, whose heart is totally committed to him, that he may use his power to support that man or that woman. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The message God told me to give you, I've given it once before, and God told me to give it again, is what you need to go the distance. You and I need to do some certain things in our lives to be able to go the distance. You have so many people, Apostle, that they start things and then they stop things. I tell you, there are so many exercise machines under people's beds collecting dust. They started an exercise program, and now the machine is under their bed and collecting dust. We're in a society, we're in a generation of quitters. We're in a generation of people who don't go the distance. There are certain things that we need to do in order to go the distance. What do I mean by going the distance? I mean continuing doing something until it's successfully completed. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Continue doing something until it is successfully completed. That's why the scripture tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, that's why the scripture says, I'm talking about Galatians 6, 9. Let us not grow weary. That's it. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap our harvest if we faint not. What is God saying in that scripture? He's saying, go to distance. Go to distance and you'll reap your harvest. The scripture over in Corinthians, he tells us, beloved, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the labor of the Lord. For much as you know, the labor, your work in the Lord, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. To go the distance. Go the distance. Continue doing what God has you doing until it is successfully completed. Glory to God. What you need to do to go the distance. Number one, if we look at this woman who had the issue of blood, Apostle, and those who are listening, if we look at this woman, she had a goal. This woman with the issue of blood, she had a goal. She was sick and wasn't doing well, but she still had a goal. Oh, glory to God. You have some people today, they're well and they're strong in their bodies, but they don't have a goal. We've got to have a goal. You have to have something that you're shooting for, something that you're pressing toward, that you want to finish. You have to have a mission, a vision from God. And if you want to know your goal, if you want to know your mission, your vision from God, ask God and he'll tell you. Call upon him and he'll answer you. Call upon God. He's the one who has the plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the plans that I have toward you, that I think toward you, that I weave together for you, plans to not of evil, but to give you plans that are good and that will give you a good future. God has a goal in mind for you. He has plans for your life. In order to go the distance, first of all, you've got to have a goal. You have to have a goal. The woman with the issue of blood, she had a goal. Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 26. She had a goal. Mark chapter 5 and verse 26. And she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She wanted to get well. She had a goal to get well. She wanted to be healed. She had a goal, and she went for it. In order to continue, to finish, to go the distance, to complete successfully your goal, you have to have a goal. You have to have a goal in mind. The Apostle Paul wanted to reach the Gentiles because that was the vision, that was the mission that God had for the Apostle Paul. So what was the Apostle Paul's goal? His goal was to reach the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, the heathens, the unbelievers. That was his goal, to reach them. You can see that in Acts chapter 9. Turn to Acts chapter 9 and read verse 15 with me. But the Lord said unto him, said unto Paul, go thy way, he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Paul had a goal, and his goal was to reach the Gentiles. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. The message is what you need to go the distance. Philippians chapter 3, and let's read together, verse 14. Paul said, I press toward the mark, toward the goal. He was pressing toward a goal. What was his goal? His goal was to reach the Gentiles with the good news that Jesus saves, that Yeshua HaMashiach, he saves. I press toward the goal, the Apostle Paul said, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was pressing toward his goal. And if you can read, if you read with me 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, we'll see that he reached his goal. He successfully completed his goal because he had one. In order to go the distance, to successfully complete something, you have to have a goal. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and verse 8. I have fought a good fight, Paul said. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Here, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul completed his goal. He reached his goal. In order to go the distance, number one, you have to have a goal. Number two, you've got to get started. You've got to get started. You've got to be determined to finish what you've started. You've got to get started, number two, and you've got to be determined to finish what you've started. The woman with the issue of blood, she had a goal, and she got started. She didn't let anything hold her back. She got started. When did she get started? She got started when she started spending money going to the physicians. If you notice, Jesus didn't mock her, saying, oh, look, you should have came to me at first, but you spent all your money going to those no-good, no-count doctors. No, Jesus didn't mock her. At least she had a goal, and she got started. She got started on reaching her goal, and her goal was to get well. Oh, glory to God. God didn't put her down. Jesus didn't put her down for spending all her money going to the different doctors. If you notice, he didn't put her down. He didn't mock her. And then you could have used that money for something else, but you wasted all your money going to the physicians. No, he didn't mock her. He didn't mock her. She got started. She did something that was good. At least she got started. You have people who want to reach goals, but they don't get started, and they're not determined. She pressed her way. Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 27. She got started, and she was determined to reach her goal. And so I just want to encourage you, if you want to go the distance, get yourself a goal, and then get started and be determined to reach it. Mark chapter 5 and verse 27. The scripture says, and when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, and she touched his garment. She had a goal, and she got started. She was determined to reach Jesus. She worked her way. She pressed her way through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. Oh, glory to God. She got started, and she was determined. She had a goal. She was determined. She had decided. She had settled in her mind, I'm going to reach Jesus and be made whole. It was resolved as far as she was concerned. She had her mind made up. Oh, glory to God. And she pressed her way, and she touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. Look at Philippians chapter 3. You've got to get started, child of God. whatever God has laid on your heart to do, get started and be determined to reach your goal. Look at Philippians and chapter 3, and let's read verses 13 and 14. Look what Paul says. He says, "For I count not myself to have apprehended." Paul said, "I don't have it all together. I'm not all that and a bag of chips. I got my faults. I've made mistakes." He said in one scripture, he says, "The things that I don't want to do, he says, I do. And the things I want to do, I don't do." He said, "Oh, what a wretched man I am." Paul had, he was a man like you and I, and he had struggles, and he made mistakes, and, you know, he was human. But that didn't stop Paul from going the distance. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He had a goal, started, and he was determined. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." So don't let your faults and your mistakes and your shortcomings stop you from getting started and being determined in reaching your goal. There's no one that's perfect, no, not one. Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the only one that's perfect. There's no one that's perfect. All you need is a goal, and all you need to do is get started and be determined to reach your goal. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." He said, "I press toward the goal, toward the mark, toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Get started and be determined to reach your goal. And number three, my final point, is we've got to speak what we want to happen. You've got to speak what you want to happen. What you need to go the distance, what you need to continue to do until you successfully complete and reach your goal. Number one, you've got to have a goal. And number two, you've got to get started and be determined to reach your goal. And number three, my final point, speak what you want to happen. Look what happened in Mark. Look what the woman did with the issue of blood. Look what she did in Mark chapter 5. Chapter 5, we're talking about what you need to go the distance. What you need to go the distance. Mark chapter 5 and verse 28. "For she said," when she had heard of Jesus, "she came in behind in the press and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." She said it. She used her faith, her mouth, and she said it. Remember, Jesus said over in Mark, he said, "You shall have," Mark chapter 11, "you shall have whatsoever you say it." You've got to say something, child of God. The power of death and life are in the tongue. God created the universe. He created the earth by what he said. Oh, glory to God. We're created in the image of Almighty God. We're to be imitators of God, the scripture says, as dear children. God said to create. We need to say to create. We need to speak what we want to happen into existence. Oh, glory to God. "For she said that if I may just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be made whole." We've got to say what we want to happen. Look at Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 23. The scripture says, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree up." They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. "And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst with your mouth, it has withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them," the disciples, "have faith in God." Oh, glory to God. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say," open up your mouth and say what you want to happen, "whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Child of God, faith is saying what you want to happen and believing and expecting for it to happen exactly how you said it. Oh, glory to God. We've got to use our faith in order to go the distance. What you need to successfully complete what you have started, number one, you need a goal. And then you need to get started and be determined to reach your goal. And number three, you've got to speak what you want to happen. And this is what you need to go the distance. Apostle?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I know God has used you to bless us tonight, and got my sister on the phone with us. Deborah, are you there? Deborah, can you hear me? Amen. Well, I want to say this tonight to everybody that's on the line. Thank God for the word that Brother Newsom gave us tonight. He blessed the Lord of Israel from
everlasting.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. He blessed his glorious name forever. And holy, hallelujah. So deep.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. So tonight, my sister from Brian, Texas, is going to come on and have a word, but apparently she must have forgotten to come on the line. And so I'm going to ask the Reverend Wee Mary, but you got a word tonight for us? No, you got a word for us.
Sure, I got a word. It's called freedom. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, I was blessed yesterday. My radio broadcast. I invited a woman here that down to Belgram. She deals with women that have been victimized and human trafficking.
What up, brother?
Hello?
Oh, no. Come on back on.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. Something happened. Everything went blank. Yeah.
How you doing?
Can you mute the radio? All right.
Yeah, we
gone
now? How much did you hear of it?
No, we'll get started. It just, everything just dropped. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. But, you know, like I said, this young lady, you could just see the hurt in her face. You could just see the pain that she carried. But also when she sat there and she said Jesus, a smile came to her face. And it's such a smile, and it's such a pretty smile, through all that hurt and through all that pain. And each one of these people who came onto the radio program, they talked about, but you know, each one had that same, whatever, or the one woman came on, she had fear of rejection. The girl was in captivity. She was afraid to run. She had fear. The other woman that came on, she had fear of a relationship that she was in. And another woman that came on, her life was full of fear because it was full of abuse and torment. And it was in the family, and so on and so forth, and story after story. And the only way they could really become something into their lives was to go into the drinking and drugs, to kill the pain, to kill the hurt. And just to listen to each one of these women give a testimony. And I told them, I said, you know, we can read the Bible in verse. And I said, there's other people out there that are knowledgeable of the Bible and literally can beat you up in knowing the word if you're not truly understanding what you're reading. I said, but you know what? I says, one thing I do know for sure, that God says we would be a testimony unto him. And it's not so much that his life, death, and resurrection. It is what he has done in your life, that you were crucified. That past, that life that you have led is gone. And that life that you're in now is in Christ. And you've been resurrected and reborn again into the kingdom of heaven. I said, you need to hold on to that. I said, it doesn't make any difference. I said, because when you tell your stories and you do your testimonies, that is a testimony unto Jesus. It's testimony unto your life. It's a testimony unto everybody who hears that are bound up, that are set into a place in their lives where they need those chains to be broken. And I says, you know, it's through our testimonies, what God has done for us. It's not the works of our hands, testimony that we give. It's saying what God has done in my life, what he's done in your life, and what he's continued to do, and the promises that he made you, and everything else. You know, I'm just reading a piece of paper here. I just needed to get that out there, I'm really short time here. I've been really paying more attention to getting ready. I'm like, I won't be on air next Monday because I'll probably be over the Atlantic somewhere. I'm on my way to Africa, and I've been running around trying to get ends meet done and everything else, and trying to get everything under what I need to do. But I'll go into a little bit. I just needed to say something about that. That it wasn't so much boasting about the radio program, but it was about watching these women that came up that were all broken and they're all hurting. And yet there's the recovery. You can see the recovery in their faces, and you can see the recovery in their hearts, and you can see what God was doing in each and every one of them. And God will do that for anybody. It doesn't make any difference. He did it for me. I sat on the floor and I cried out 30 years ago, and I said, God, there's got to be more than this. And he answered. And, you know, I'm just reading this piece here, and it says, the Lord gave a word, and great was the company of those who published it. And that's in Psalm 68:11. That goes to what I was just talking about, publishing our word, giving our testimony about Jesus, telling the world, telling whoever will listen of what Jesus has done in your life. You know, my brothers, I love them very much, and they saw what I was, and they saw what I've done, and how I turned, did 180 degrees, and they said, well, you just got religion. They have no understanding what it took and what I did to get to where I'm at today. I love them. And yet I talk to them, and sometimes, you know, they say our worst enemy is our family. Well, this is so, but it's in love. It's not the enemy, it's of the flesh. It's what keeps us captive. You know, when we pray to God in our prayers, there's different orders in prayer. We can pray of the flesh. We can pray out of our emotions. Or we can pray in the spirit. God hears all three. But what he gets is a divine connection when you're praying in the spirit. You get into that order of knowing that when you're right in his presence. Because when we're crying out and we're crying out, that little girl that was in that room, she was crying out in her spirit for help to the Lord. It wasn't in her emotions. But, you know, a lot of times we cry out to God in our emotions. And then when we're crying out in our emotions, we're praying out to God, and we're praying out to God, and we're praying in our emotions, we're not able to hear because our emotions have taken over, that we can't hear what God wants to tell us or show us. because when it's presented to us, we kick it out of the way because we're looking for something different. We're looking for something else because our emotions are in such a rage, you know, that we're bouncing off the walls, anything and anything. We're looking for signs and wonders, and God's put that presence right in front of us, and we can't see it because of our emotions, whether it be an anger, whether it be of sorrow, or it be of whatever degree of your emotions. And so that's when we get into the other part, when we're praying to God, and we're praying in the Spirit of the Lord, and we keep focus on God, and we keep our focus on Him, and we're praying when we're aligned with Him, perfectly aligned, and speaking to God, we can receive because He is speaking to us. He's speaking directly to us. That little girl, all she knew was like she had that moment that sat there and said, run. That was the Spirit of God telling her to run. He had it set. He had a plan. He got her out. Run. When we run either to God or we run away from God. And a lot of times it's due attached to our emotions. It's attached to our feelings. You know, when we start praying in the flesh, because we want this and we want that and we want this and we want that, we're praying against, you know that your son wants a Harley Davidson, or your boyfriend or whoever wants a Harley Davidson, and it's his desire to have that, and he's praying to God, asking God for that Harley Davidson. He's praying. God says, you know, and then yet you're standing next to him and you're praying against him getting that Harley. You're saying, God, don't let him get that. That's warring against the Spirit. Your flesh is warring against. Instead of saying, Lord, give him wisdom. God, if it is that you are to give him this, God, protect him. Put angels round about him. Lord, help him. Get his mind right. You don't pray against it. Yeah, it might be dangerous, but you pray that God will keep him safe. If it is that man's desire, it doesn't make. I'm just using that as an example, but there are examples. You can take that to any corner of any place in your life and whatever you're doing. And when you're praying against somebody else's desire, your warring spirits are in conflict. That's where we come into your family. Your family, one, is praying against what it is that you're in your emotions, what it is that your desires are, what it is that you want to accomplish. And you're saying, no, you need to go in another direction, da-da-da-da, and it goes on and on. Your warring spirits turn and say, God, give us wisdom. God, give us understanding. God, protect them. Watch over them. Lord, if it be your will, God, have mercy. So many times we pray against the very things that we love, the very things that we cherish, and we lose because we're praying in the flesh. Our fleshly spirits can just as well as your spiritual change the atmosphere to good or evil. To that, a negative to a positive, positive to a negative. So understanding how you are praying, it's understanding where you're at in Christ, it's understanding that are you praying in the flesh? Are you praying out of emotions? Are you praying in the Spirit? Because in the Spirit, you're perfectly aligned. You're at this throne of God. Jesus has split the veil that we could go before God and we can speak to Him in the Spirit. And we can talk to Him and we can get revelation. We can get understanding. We can get knowledge. We can get everything we need. We're in the Spirit. But any other way in them prayers that we're doing, we're warring against the flesh and the Spirit that is within us, around us, and about us, with our loved ones, and it makes no difference. If you're praying against your boss because you don't like the way he's doing his, why he's running his business, concern is that as long as you're getting paid. If he has to do something to make money so that you can get paid, why are you praying against this man? Why are you coming against an argument between God and him that whatever it is that he is trying to do to accomplish so that you can feed your family? You know, I don't know why I'm going with this, but you know, this is something that we need as children of God and men and women of God. We need to come to a conclusion. We need to come to an understanding in our prayer life and what we're praying for. Whether you're praying against, well, I don't want the president to do this, and I don't want the president to do that, God, da, 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 da. But God has already put an agenda and a heart and a mind what this man needs to do in order to accomplish what God wants a president or a senator or a judge or a mayor or whoever it is to accomplish what it needs to be accomplished, because he has a set order for this kingdom, for this world, and for what's to come and what is to be. Wisdom. We pray for courage. We pray for strength. We pray for understanding. We pray to God for those, not against them. If it is that everybody would sit there and see these women and when they were drinking and so on and so forth, you would have walked right past them. You would have sit there and maybe somebody may have taken advantage of them, but so on, whatever make the case it may be, you know, and never gave them a second thought. But God didn't do that. God heard the prayers of a loved one, whether it been the mother's child or father or mother. Her husband, sister, or brother was praying for that person for salvation, praying for that person to get straight, get right, to get out of the bondage of drugs and alcohol, out of whoredom, out of abusive life, out of whatever it was, the chains to be broken. God is a positive air of change, and this is what we need to be speaking, not just speaking it in life, but praying it in life. And not praying against, oh God, don't let that person come around me. Oh Lord, please, whatever you do, don't let that person come into my house. God, I couldn't deal with somebody like that. Oh Lord, please, don't let Lord. Where is your compassion? Where is your love? Where is your joy knowing that God will sit there and listen to your prayers and hear your prayers, and knowing that that one person who is lost for salvation, that one person who is lost will find a way out of bondage, out of the chains of being broken. It's how we pray, God answers. God says we are a Christ-like, and Christ-like, whatever we speak, we can speak into existence, whether it be positive or negative. Whether it be positive that you're speaking something into someone's life and say, hey, go for it. Hey, God bless you. You know, help yourself. Hey, you know, it's not my cup of tea, but, you know, go for it. I bless you. You know, God watch over you, have mercy on you, or whatever the case may be. You know, pray it. You don't need to pray against them. There's many times you hear people will say that they've been where somebody held a gun on them and somebody had started praying for that person that had the gun in their hand and started praying and speaking and speaking the word of God and the published word of God and started speaking to that person and speaking it into their life and speaking that there's a person finally broke and laid the gun down and apologized because the conviction of the word of God came upon him. It wasn't, you're going to hell, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, if you end up doing this, da, 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 whatever the case may be. Because God put the word in you to publish it. God put the word in you to be able to be his right hand. God put the word in you to be his mouthpiece. Not so much what you want to say, but what he wants you to see. And how do we do this? Because when we come to alignment of Christ, when we come into that Spirit of God, when we stand firm and we stand focused on the Lord, when we stand in that place where we need to be standing, there's so many people out there that are hurting. There are so many people right now. There's missionaries out there. Did you know that right now, and doing a study and looking at some things here, that there's a study that's going on right now that out of the millions and millions and millions of people in the world, only half have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That the millions of people that are out there right now, that the missionaries that are going out there, they can only reach approximately 5,000 people out of the millions. The average would be able to reach approximately 5,000 people. That means that you're going to have to send millions more of missionaries to the field this year. That is probably humanly impossible. But if your heart's right, and your heart is for the missions, and your heart is for the people, not what you can do, but for the people. That woman that took these women in, I saw her heart, and I just sat there and I said, I was amazed how she took. She is a woman of God. She is taken, and she saw a need, and she pressed in. This woman gets called at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning to go rescue somebody out of an abusive situation. Somebody got snatched out of trafficking. The police would call and say, hey, can you take this person? Her compassion is that of the same as a Christ, a Jesus who walked upon the earth, a true missionary. She stands firm in the Word of God, and she believes in Christ, because she had to go through some of the stuff that some of these women were going through. There's so many out there. They want what they can get from God and leave nothing. It's like the 5 or the 10 leopards, where they all asked Jesus to heal them, but only one returned and was made whole. And that wholeness, was it just in his spirit? Did he get his fingers back? Did he get his nose back? His skin renewed, fresh like a baby's skin? He got everything back because he was made perfect. He was made whole. And the others, they were healed, but yet they had gone with lost fingers, limbs, and maybe no nose, no ear, whatever else. But they were healed. I wasn't there. We can assume both ways, but it was that one that came back, and thank the Lord, was made whole. I imagine his testimony, because they had to look upon this one particular man and see a difference, that how it is that he was cleansed, how it is that he became a new man, knowing that he's not only a new man, but a new man in Christ. And all these people who are suffering, that are in this house here where they're at, they all renewed. You could see their spirits. You could see the joy in their hearts. You could see the joy in their lives. You could see everything that was going on in their, what God was doing to them. Some of them have only been there for 2 or 3 months. Some of them have been there for almost a year. Some of them have already graduated the program. Some of them have already started Bible college. Raising up missionaries, raising up people to evangelize, raising up people to not be afraid to give their testimony, not to be afraid to step out and save somebody, to challenge the devil and say, you did it to me once, you ain't doing it to me again, you're through. you're done. Die and go back to hell where you belong. You no longer have any priority. You have no authority over me because I belong to Christ. Each and every one of us right now, in the sound of my voice that's listening, would ask God in the Spirit, ask God to convict your heart of the things that you have been praying against, the things that you've been praying for, and ask God how it is that I can receive what you have for me, your freedom, your chains and the bonds to be broken off of you. This is God's glory. It's not a mansion. It's not driving around in a Rolls Royce. You're not getting in your private jet and going from here to there, wherever you want to go. It's being set free. It's being cleansed. Being made whole. Bringing that into salvation. Bringing that into being a missionary. To be a testament unto the Lord of what he has done in your life. Don't fear. Don't fear what God has done for you. Publish it. Speak it. Because then when you speak that into someone else's life, you're setting them free. When you're speaking your testimony, you are breaking the chains, you're breaking the bonds against someone else who is held in captivity, who is broken, who has no hope, has no future, and has no true life. When you begin to speak your testimony, they begin to see if God could do that for you, they can do it for them. You begin to speak it into their lives. You give them hope. You bring that joy. You bring that peace. You bring that love of Christ. And you leave your flesh behind. You leave your emotions behind. And you walk in the Spirit of Christ. And there is no bounds, no boundaries that you can not, that will hold you back. There is nothing that can stop you because God says all things are possible. When you step out in faith and believe and trust in him that the work that he has given you to do, that he has made a way, he's made it for you to be able to succeed and do what he has for you to do. He's made a way for you, whether he tells you to go to Alaska, if he tells you to go to Bahamas, if he tells you to go to Egypt. He's already provided. He's already made a way. You know, I was sitting at the Flying J in the parking lot, and God sat there and said, John, John, John. So I got out the Bible, and I started going through the book of John, and I'm reading. Where, Lord, what? John 3, John 9, John what, John, John. And then so finally I sat there, and I went, well, I'm going to get me a cup of coffee. And I stepped out of the truck. Three cars down was a man pulled in with a van, and he had Jesus all over, and he had a whole bunch of scriptures in the window and everything else. So I stepped over, and I said, hey, kind of reluctant, said, what do you want? And I said, I just want to thank you for what you're doing. And he stepped out of the van, and we got talking. And I said, what's your name? And he said, John. And I told him that I was going to Africa. And what the other things that I've been doing, he says, hey, you're doing the work of the Lord. He says, don't worry about it. God's got it covered. He says, I've been traveling. He says, I just come back 6 months in South America. I've been in down into Central America, into Panama, and preaching down there. He says, I don't know Spanish. I says, but he says, I've been preaching in South and in Central America. And he says, I haven't had to worry about anything. God's provided everything I needed. See, that divine appointment is the same as that girl when she cried out to Christ to be saved, that her be rescued. That divine appointment God has made for each and every one of us. We will step out in faith and believe that God has made a way today. If you cry out to the Lord and ask him, show me, Lord. Show me the way. What is it you have me to do? Not what I want to do, what will you have me to do? See, when you ask what you want, what will you have me to do, you're asking for God's will. Be a testament unto the Lord. Talk about your life. Talk about it to your children, in your family, in your friends, in your neighbors, and strangers. Let them see Christ working in you, through you, and you being Christ. Yes, I said being Christ, because we're all in Christ. Who is in Christ? Are we not Christ-like? Do we still have to sit there and walk in fear? Fear of wondering whether or not we're going to get fed today. Wondering whether or not we're going to have money to be able to go to the next town. Money to be able to sit there and put the wing on the building. Wondering how we're going to sit there and feed the multitude. I know for a fact, I've watched it over and over and over. I've been to many different places in New Orleans. We didn't know how we were going to feed people. Truckloads of food came in during Katrina. Up in North Carolina, we had enough food to feed about 400 or 500 people. We fed 1,500 people. Didn't know how we did it, and we still had food left over. If you step out in faith and believe and trust in the Lord and bring everything to Him, He will make a way. Just like He did with that young lady, with divine appointments, freedom, salvation. That little girl is going to prosper. All that brokenness, all that hurt in her that she's gone through, all the pain that she's already got her kids here coming to be able to visit her, be able to see her. And there's one woman after another giving her testimony. Their children are being able to come and see them and watch and talk to them. And they're coming to church and they're coming and they're listening and they're seeing mom change. That can happen to you, Dad. That can happen to you, Mom. All you have to do is reach out for the hem of the garment of the Lord. Reach out, cry out to Him, and ask Him, and He will set you free. That's my word for the night, guys.
I'm just hold on. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The God
amen,
be
amen.
Amen. God is so good. I'll ask you guys, just give me a few minutes. I want my sister to come on here. I'm going to call her, so tell her to come on there with us. She has something she wants to say. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. You're breaking up.
Well, brothers, I want to let y'all know that God has been so blessed in you, brother, tonight. I sit behind the radio station, and I put some words down there. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting unto everlasting. Amen. Amen. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Bless the Lord forevermore. Forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I just say tonight, I want to let you know, my brother, I thank God for y'all. Y'all keep me alive in the spirit of the living God. And we have a work to do. It don't look like we're going to do it, but we're doing it. We always need somebody. Amen.
Amen.
So, sis, how you doing?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, go ahead. If you got a word you want to tell, I got a Pastor Irwin on the phone with me on the radio station. Let me just finish teaching. You got a word you want to say, go ahead.
First of all, I want to thank God for another day. My name is Deborah Sweeps. I'm Dr. Reverend Willie James Hunter's sister. And I want to share with you guys something that happened to me May 28th. I got up to go to the bathroom. After that, I don't know. I was down. I was on my face. I couldn't move over because I had lost consciousness. When I was able to move over, I wasn't able to get up to let anyone in the house. So they had to break a window to get me out. And I saw my life flash before me, and I just told God this. I said, Lord, if it's your will that I go, then take me, because I know I'm going to heaven. But I would like to stay on this earth a while longer. When the ambulance got in to get me, I had 29% of oxygen, which is 20 minutes to live, but that's not what God said.
My God.
He stepped back, stepped up and told old Dex to behave. And for the rest
Amen.
Of my life, I'm going to serve him. Because
Amen.
I used to not serve the Lord. I remember when I was younger, my brother would come over and I would run and hide from him because I didn't want to hear it. But we were raised in the church. And, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he grows older, he shall not depart. He'll always come back. So I'm back, and I'm back to stay. And I just ask you guys to pray for me, for my health. Things are not as they should be, but God knows what he's doing. I just wanted to share that with you guys. And,
Amen. Well, I
pray for you every day. And I will be coming back on your radio station.
Amen.
I tried to come on last night.
Yep.
But I couldn't get through. But I just thank God. You know, I mean, I have a wonderful older brother. He's child number one. I'm child number 9 out of 10.
Praise God.
And we were raised to be in the Lord, serve the Lord with all our heart. You know, because without the Lord, if I didn't have the Lord in my life, I wouldn't have made it. Devil, he likes that. And I'm grateful to be able to tell this testimony. May God bless each and every one of you. In his name I pray, amen.
Amen. Before you get off the line, I want to do something. I'll pass over and take a breath, please.
Sir, I can't understand you.
Yeah, you're breaking up.
I know.
Let me put it on the speaker. Let me see what happens.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Can
I
hear
you? Oh, you're breaking up.
Go ahead.
You got a lot of echo.
I know. I'm praying for
you. Do you want me to call back another time?
No. Go ahead, Pastor.
Darth, I pray for you.
I would love it.
Alrighty.
Go ahead.
Let me pray for you real quick. Heavenly Father, right now, Lord. Father, I ask you to just touch my sister right now. Right where she's at. Father, just touch her body right now, Lord. Show a healing hand to be upon her. Father, just touch her. Your anointing to come upon her. As she comes to realize and understanding who you truly are. That she's seen the salvation through her brother that she has now. Father, give her wisdom. Give her understanding. Father, just heal her right now. Heal her spiritually. healer, Lord, in her mind. Let the devil come back in. Put the helm of the salvation upon her head. Father, right now, just touch her body. Wherever in her body right now, we know that you're healing it, Lord. Because of the testimony she gave, the same for the doctors that sent her home. Father, just touch her right now so it would be complete healing. Father, watch over her, Lord. The angels round about her, Lord.
Just
protect her, Lord. Oh, Father, just touch her. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you in the name of Jesus for all you're doing in her life. Amen.
Father, I just pray this night.
Thank you, brother.
That you will bless her, you will keep her, show her the way, Father. More opportunities, Father. We thank you tonight for everything you have seen in our lives. Tonight is the night that the sisters and brothers and the brothers and sisters in the spirit, we come together and say hallelujah, 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 and we praise God. Thank you for keeping up, Father. Thank you for letting me come back to this cycle. May she do a great reward, a great thing with the body of Christ. And then, Father, we all come to the close. We just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you all, and God bless you all. Amen.
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 God bless you all.
God bless. Shalom.
God bless you too. Thank you.